All right. Today, we are going to look at Psalm 139, 23 to 24, and I'm going to read it. It says this: "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let's pray. God, we just thank you, Lord, that you have surrounded us in such an amazing place. You placed so many amazing things in our lives, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you have called us as a church to interact with culture. But I thank you also, God, that you have given us the Holy Spirit to guide us in all understanding through every season of our lives, through everything. And so we pray today you'd bring clarity to our hearts about how we as the church, how we as believers should engage with media and entertainment. Because Lord knows, some of us, we just binge watch Netflix all the time. We listen to Bad and Bougie first thing in the morning. And so Lord, I pray, Lord, that more than just, I pray that my words would not convict, but Holy Spirit, that you would allow us to search for the deep things in our heart, and that each of us would hear your voice and your direction about how we're to interact with media and entertainment. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all ready for this? Oh, I'm so excited. All right, the first question we gotta ask: why are media and entertainment so important? Good question, right? Well, I'm gonna tell you. The average American listens to 4 hours of music each day. Did you know that? This is a study taken in 2014. The average American listens to 4 hours of music every day. This doesn't mean just, maybe it's not just sitting and actually listening to the words, but having music on, but 4 hours every day, right? Things like Apple Music. Well, really quick, how many of y'all Apple Music heads up in here? Raise your hand. What about Spotify? Okay, whatever. I'm an Apple Music guy. Tidal? Okay, one guy. Was that Anthony? Yeah, sure. Second fact. Study taken in 2016. The average American watches 5 hours of television each day. I know some of y'all already convicted. I don't even need to preach another sentence, okay? 5 hours each day with amazing streaming sites like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, HBO, even YouTube. The average American watches about 1.5 hours of Netflix a day. Isn't that crazy, okay? And so it's safe to say that entertainment and media play a huge role in our lives, right? If the average American is listening to 4 hours of music a day, if the average American is watching 5 hours of television each day, it's safe to say that entertainment and media play a huge role in our lives, and it's even heightened here in the city. How many of you guys have ever been to work, and all your coworkers are talking about the latest episode of Game of Thrones, right? And you're at that place where I never watched an episode of Game of Thrones, but I need to be in on this group. And so throughout the whole week, night and day, you don't pray, but you binge watch Game of Thrones so you could catch up. And then the next week at work, you come up to your group and like, oh, I know what happened. I know what happened. Did you see what happened to the Mother of Dragons last week, right? See, here in the city, it's heightened. You know, did you see that Kendrick Lamar concert last weekend? Did you go? How was it? You got high from the extra weed smoke? I'm sure you did, right? There's heightened awareness, heightened activity regarding media and entertainment living here in the city. And what we do when we watch and we listen to media and entertainment, there are two senses that are being stimulated by media, and both are important. The first is our sense of hearing, what we listen to. And the second is what we see, okay, what we watch. Both are very important. Let's talk a little bit about that. Music. How many of you guys know that music is so much more than just entertainment? Y'all thought you were just throwing on a jam, throwing on the radio, but music is so much more than entertainment. Music is one of the things that actually existed in the heavens before God even created the earth. Music was one of the things that was created in all of eternity that wasn't created or fabricated here on earth. Music existed in the heavens before the creation narrative. The Bible speaks of angels worshiping God with music since the beginning of time. And research has proven that music has the power to affect your emotions. Can I get an amen? How many have ever been you've been in a dark place and you don't really feel like getting out? So what do you throw on? Throw on some Boys to Men, right? Throw on some Backstreet Boys. Show me the meaning of being lonely, right? Music affects your emotions. On the other spectrum, how many of you guys have ever been in a cruddy mood? And then you throw on your favorite dance song. Bam. All of a sudden, elation fills your heart. Music has the power to affect your emotions. That's why we say things like, man, that song moved me, bro. Mm. Or that song, bro, brought me to tears last night, bro. I was just in bed, just listening to it, brought me to tears. Music has the power to affect our emotions. You know, they did actually a scientific study where they attached a bunch of sensors to this guy, especially in the brain. And they analyzed the person's stress and anxiety level while they were not listening to any music. And then they shared their favorite song. They would play their favorite song. And they followed the patterns in the brain and the body physiologically. And what they found is that the anxiety and stress levels, their heart rate lowered when their favorite jam came on. Y'all know, you're in the car, someone cuts you off. And all of a sudden, all it takes is your favorite song to come back on the radio. You play a little karaoke in your car, and it changes everything. See, music has the power to affect your emotions. That's why when you go to work out, you don't listen to something really sad or slow. You listen to something that gets your heart bumping, right? That's why when you're sad, when you listen to more sad music, you get even sadder, right? That's why some of y'all study with classical music. Music affects your emotions. Now, I remember that my sophomore year, I lived with my best man. He was the best man in my wedding, Christopher. And I was not going to school that year. And because I was not going to school, I made sure Chris didn't go to class. And so during our sophomore year, this is what an average day would look like. We would stay up till maybe 5 a.m. And between the hours of 3 a.m. and 5 a.m., Christopher would put on these K-pop love songs. You know, like the slow ballads. And both of us were single at the time. And all we would do is just lay down in our own beds, and we'd listen to these Korean ballads. And I don't even like Korean music. I don't know what they're saying, but, you know, just the romantic vibes going on. And we just daydream about one day having a girlfriend. And we would do this for the entire year, right? And I remember just, do you remember that, Chris? It was a dark year for us. But I remember music just stirred up the emotions of loneliness and wanting to have a companion. Well, praise the Lord, I found mine, and he found his. God is good. Amen? So music can affect your emotion. But also, did you know that music has the power to affect your spiritual experience? In the Bible, Saul was being tormented by spirits within himself, and it was David's harp playing. I don't know if that's how it sounded like. But it was David's music that brought him to a place of peace. Psalms has so many Bible verses about playing instruments, about singing out, about making a joyful noise. Music has the power to affect your spiritual experience. That's why here, you know, we don't just have the pads on because we think we sound good. We know that music facilitates a spiritual atmosphere. There's something powerful about it. You can see when it goes wrong by watching this video. Turn up that sound. One of my favorite worship leaders.
Thank you, goodness, God.
Such a holy moment.
Thank you that we get to have moments in your presence, and then it changes us from the inside out.
You feel it, right? You feel the Spirit moving.
Jesus. Just kidding. We're not going to worship to that. I may need someone up here just to maybe fix this up.
Getting back into the Spirit. Oh, no.
Yep.
I love worship fails. It's
so
amazing.
Sorry,
and so we see little things like that can actually affect your spiritual experience. How many of you guys have been at a soda service, and it's the middle of a quiet moment, and God, the Holy Spirit, is moving all throughout your body, and all you hear is a, right? Ruins your spiritual experience. Music has the power to facilitate a spiritual experience. You know, I could, does someone really bark? That was an amen bark. That wasn't a distraction bark. Come on. I could talk about music all day, but I'm just going to give you one more. Music has the power to change culture. Did you know that? Music has the power to change culture. I love this amazing quote by Andrew Fletcher. He was a Scottish activist in the 1700s. He says this, "Let me make the songs of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws." Some of y'all, this wisdom eluded you. What it's saying is laws don't transform culture. What he's saying, actually, songwriters have more influence over the culture than lawmakers do. And let me give you an example. How many of you guys love Sam Cooke? Bam! A Change Is Gonna Come, classic song. It fueled a movement during the civil rights time. It fueled movement. It fueled people to protest, for people to move, people to mobilize. This song changed the culture. Another song, Edwin Starr, War. War! Thank you, Larry. War! What is it good for, right? During the Vietnam War in the 70s, this sparked a movement of protest throughout the nation of America. Another classic, John Lennon's Imagine, right? Opened up dialogue about war, religion, and family. You see, songs, music has the power to change culture. People say, if you want to reach a generation, you got to write songs to that generation, right? It's not just laws that change people. It's actually culture, music, right? Another one of my favorites, Kendrick Lamar, he released a song a few years ago called All Right. And this was very significant during the Black Lives Matter movement. And you can see during this video, during the protests, they're actually saying his song in the middle of the protest. We gonna be all right. You guys know that song, right? And Justin Bieber, of course. Just kidding, not Justin Bieber. But you see, music, I'm just kidding. You know, Justin Bieber might start a church, right? You know, he got baptized in the bathtub a few years ago. Anyway, that's another sermon. Anyway, what am I saying? Music has the power to change culture. It is something powerful about sound. You know, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, I want you to, this will blow your mind. I received this teaching a few years ago. But when God created the heavens and the earth, you know, we think that he spoke and something just, boop, you know, like, I want a little flower, boop, right? Let there be light, boop, right? But what someone put it this way. He said, when God spoke, his sound waves literally rippled through the physical existence. And it's his sound waves that manipulated reality and created. And so when he spoke, let there be light, it wasn't just, boop, there was light. When he spoke, it's his sound waves that moved throughout existence and actually created. It was the sound waves. There's something powerful about sound, about music. I don't know if that is biblical, but that's just what I heard, and I thought it was very powerful, okay? Just a forewarning, okay? What am I saying? All in all, to say music affects us. That's why it's important that we talk about it. And if the average American listens to 4 hours of music every day, we better know how to interact with it. The second, television and movies. How many of y'all watching Game of Thrones tonight? Just seeing who needs sanctification. I am one. We're having a party at our house if you want to come. How many of you guys know that what you see informs much of your reality? And they say, actually, research shows that a majority of what you know is acquired through your sense of sight. That means that what you see, what you perceive through your eyes, informs a lot of your reality and your understanding about that reality. Matthew 6, 22, verse 23 says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is dark, how great is that darkness? You see, he's not talking about physical eyes. He's talking about our spiritual eyes. Because Lord knows, I don't have very good eyes. And you can't even see them right now. I know, okay? But he's talking about our ability to see in the spirit, right? And he's saying, if your eyes are healthy, then your whole body is healthy. You guys heard the saying, your eyes are the window to your soul? How many of you guys know that also your eyes are the gateway to your soul? It means the images that you see have a profound impact on the way that you feel, the way that you think, and the way that you make sense of reality. Some examples, exposure to violent images can create neurotic behavior. You know, that's why we have a generation that grew up playing Grand Theft Auto more than they spend listening to anything else or watching anything else. And there have been cases where it's proven that it's created neurotic behavior. In the same way, exposure to sexual images can arouse sexual desires and feelings of lust, right? Exposure to pleasant or funny images can actually lower your blood pressure. I know so many friends that are on Reddit all the time looking at memes and GIFs. Why? And what does it do? It lowers your blood pressure, makes you have a good time, laugh, ha ha ha. Also makes you a little cynical, but it's okay. All that to say, what we choose to watch affects us. So you guys see why music, why television, movies, it's important that we know as believers how we're to interact with it. Well, we're going to talk about how God calls us to interact with it, looking at Scripture. But before we do, the first book that I highlighted, Niebuhr, he talks about 5 ways that we could approach culture. And I'm throwing this in because whenever you talk about culture, you got to at least bring up Niebuhr's approaches, okay? The first is this, Christ against culture. And I'm going to just read this straight from the notes. He's saying the first approach that we can take is Christ against culture. And it says this: all expressions of culture outside the church are viewed with a high degree of suspicion and as corrupted by sin. They are to be withdrawn from and avoided as much as possible. You in the workplace, they play Chance the Rapper like, what is that? Throwing earplugs, get out of the room. You got to separate yourself from culture, from the world, because all of it is corrupted by sin. The second one, Christ of culture. Cultural expressions as a whole are accepted uncritically and celebrated as a good thing. In theory, little or no conflict is seen between culture and Christian faith. You see no correlation between your faith and what's being heard or watched. You know, you can go home, watch porno, and you feel like it has no effect on your faith or your spirituality. Same way you listen to a song that says, I don't know, like, F Jesus or something like that, right? You listen to that, and you feel like it has no effect on your spirituality, right? The next one, Christ above culture. And actually, the next two are also under this category, Christ above culture. Cultural expressions are basically good, but need to be augmented and perfected by Christian revelation and the work of the church, saying that culture is in of itself good, but it needs to be reinterpreted through the lens of the church. The next one, Christ and culture and paradox. Sorry, I'm just breezing through these. It's just good to know. Christ and culture and paradox. Human culture is good, but tainted by sin. There's a tension in Christ's relationship to culture, embracing and rejecting certain parts of it. So I'm not going to listen to Bad and Bougie, okay? But I'll listen to some, you know, One Direction. You know, they make me happy, right? There are parts of it. It's in paradox. And the last one, probably the most popular in modern-day evangelism, Christ is transformer of culture. Human culture is good, but tainted by sin. But since Christ came to redeem the world, the church should work to redeem culture. Now, how many of you guys know that I am definitely not Christ against culture, okay? If you've been to Soda, you know sometimes we even play songs that aren't Christian. I believe that God doesn't call us to be separated or removed from culture. Christ of culture, I don't feel like I'm in that vein either. I don't know where you guys are at, but Christ of culture, I feel like there are effects that culture has on our spirituality, and we have to be careful. Where we're going to navigate are these three right. Do you guys like my laser pointer, by the way? Where we're going to navigate are these three right here. These three are kind of where we're going to land: Christ above culture, Christ in culture and paradox, and Christ the transformer of culture. You guys got that? Okay, I just needed to give you a little theology as foundation so people don't think I'm blasphemous. Okay. And so the question that we're asking first is, what is okay? What's okay to listen to? What's okay to watch? Let me tell you what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 10:23, the first half of this verse says this: everything is permissible. Basically saying, when it comes to morality, and you have the right to do anything, you have the freedom to do anything, you have the freedom to listen to or watch anything you like. It doesn't affect your salvation. And so if you go home today, you watch Game of Thrones, and you didn't close your eyes during that nude scene, you just kept watching it, you're not going to go to hell, okay? It doesn't affect your salvation. What you watch or what you listen to is not yet a matter of sin. But let's look at this verse, Matthew 15:17-20. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then goes out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth comes from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. What are they saying here? Is what you watch or what you listen to in and of itself is not sinful. However, what it can produce in your heart can lead to sin. And so I'll give you a great example. I remember in college, there was this phase where I just loved Tupac, right? It was throwback season, and I was just listening to 90s Tupac all the time. And I remember it was not affecting me spiritually, but I remember my friend who would come in the room just could not listen to it without feeling like being reminded of his dark days. You know your BC days, before Christ days? And so it wasn't the music itself that was necessarily sinful or not. It's what it produced in the heart. And so what you watch, what you listen to in and of itself is not sinful. There may be a few exceptions. Isn't in and of itself sinful, but what it produces in your heart can be, right? The second question then we have to ask, if everything is okay, if all is okay, everything is permissible according to Paul, then what's good? What's good for us? Good thing there's a second part of this verse. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Can I get an amen? Come on. The question then goes from, can I listen to blank, or can I watch blank, to should I listen to blank? Should I watch blank? The question that we need to ask is it beneficial for me? Now, a lot of you already think I'm going to give the black and white answer. Of course not, right? Secular stuff is not good for you, but I want to approach it a little differently today. This is the first question we must ask when it comes to media. The problem is we often don't think twice about it. I'm not saying that every time you throw on a song, right, you have to analyze your intentions listening to the song. You got to analyze where the song was originated, where it was produced, who produced it, what the message or the meaning of the song is. Sometimes you just want to throw on a jam and have a good time. I'm not saying that every time you have to be ultra hypersensitive and aware to what you're listening to or watching. But what I am saying is sometimes it's nice, it's important, it's healthy to consider the effect of what you're listening to over a long period of time is having on you. There's a huge difference between blindly consuming media and being aware of what's going on in the inside of you. Now, some of us are signing up for next year's San Francisco Full Marathon, and I am one of them. Ha ha ha. Y'all think this body cannot move, but it can. I did a half marathon, my first one, a few years ago. But I am training 1 year from now. Me and Justin, our original drummer, we're going to try to do a full marathon, 26 miles, y'all, here in San Francisco. So y'all need to pray for a brother, okay? But how many of you guys know that if I go throughout this year unintentionally and allow my body to continue the way that it's been, Lord knows I will not even finish one-third of that race come next August. See, it's important that I'm intentional about knowing what I'm putting into my body, right? What I'm putting into this body so that it can be healthy. In the same way, it's important that you know what kind of media, what kind of entertainment you are consuming. Now, we need to talk about secular and sacred, because immediately when I talked about this topic, y'all thought, okay, what's secular music? What's secular entertainment? What's sacred music, secular? Okay, right? And so we're going to talk about secular versus sacred. I have a fun activity for us to do before we do that. I'm going to post up song lyrics from very popular songs, and I want you to tell me if you feel like it's a sacred song, meaning a Christian artist wrote it, or it's a secular song, all right? Y'all ready for this? First one, he looked at me and said, know the truth, it'll set you free. You're looking at the Messiah, the Son of Jehovah, the higher power, the choir that spoke the word, the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys think that's secular? All right? How many of you guys think that's sacred? Oh, some of y'all just do not have an opinion. Well, Kendrick Lamar, how much a dollar costs? He is a quote-unquote secular artist, okay? Here's another one. Yeah, when the bomb went off, we were dancing in the kitchen with the neon cross. Yeah, baby, I'm lost. Never saw it coming. Never thought I'd wake up with no place to call my country. How many of y'all think this is a secular song? Okay, I see some of you. How many of you guys think it's a sacred song, like a Christian artist wrote this? Well, John Mark McMillan, a Christian artist, wrote a song called No Country. Y'all are really good at this. Next one. I was baptized like real early. I might give Satan a swirly. Some of y'all know this. Y'all know this, right? Chance the Rapper, All We Got, right? He's considered a quote-unquote secular artist. Look, I say a prayer for my enemies. They cannot slow down what's meant for me. Ooh. How many of y'all think it's sacred? Come on, let me see your hands. How many of you guys think a Christian artist wrote this? How many of you guys think a secular artist wrote this? All right. Big Sean, Champions, bam. We got one more. Will you be there for me after? Will I waste inside the silence where the fear is effing violent? How many of you guys think a Christian artist wrote this? How many of you guys think a non-Christian artist wrote this? Well, King's Kaleidoscope wrote this in their very Christian album, and it's called A Prayer. I don't know how you guys feel about that. What am I saying? Usually it's not so black and white, right? Usually it's not so black and white. Some of these are quote-unquote secular artists who many churches and Christians deem not good to listen to, not good to follow. Usually we refer to anything as secular that doesn't have Jesus or God stamped on it, right? But I want to change your mind a little bit about what secular and sacred means. The actual definition of secular is things that have no religious or spiritual basis, and the definition of sacred is connected with God or dedicated to a religious purpose. I want to make an argument that even though things aren't explicitly made religious, it could still be sacred. okay? That's the argument I want to make. I'll give you a great example. You know, when I was younger, I went through this period where in high school, I would sneak into Best Buy, and I know I look like a wholesome Christian boy, but I would steal CDs, okay? And I actually stole maybe close to 120 CDs over my 4 years in high school. I was a youth group leader, all this and that, you know. Luckily, the Lord, he's changed my life since then. And so I got to this point in college where I had all these CDs. I was listening to all this music, this quote-unquote secular music. And I remember one season, I don't know if you've ever been in this season, but God said, I want you to get rid of all your secular music. I want you to comb through every inch of your iTunes, comb through every inch of your CDs, right? And I want you to get rid of all your secular music. And so I remember during that season, I purged myself of all secular music, and all I would listen to is Christian music. And I remember during that season, Christopher, who I talked about earlier, my best man, he was in love with the radio station called K-Love, okay? How many of y'all love K-Love, right? Positive, encouraging K-Love, okay? And so I remember I'd be sitting in my car, you know, I threw away all my bad music. I'd be listening to K-Love, positive, encouraging K-Love, right? And I'd hear all these songs, and at first, my spirit was being uplifted like, yeah, Jesus is good. Ooh, they playing a song from the 90s still? All right, that's a good worship song, right? And I'm listening to all these positive, encouraging songs. And I remember after 3 months, I wanted to gouge my ears out. Why? No knock on K-Love. K-Love is a powerful radio station, and it serves its purpose. But I felt like I wanna hear about, like, some real stuff, you know? It's not always, I love Jesus. God is great. It's not always so positive, encouraging. Sometimes life sucks. And sometimes I need to hear someone tell me about how life sucks. I need empathy. I need understanding. And I remember during that season, even though God told me in that season, just purge yourself of all of that, I remember it wasn't long after that where God said, it's okay again. It's okay. I want us to look at a Bible verse, Philippians 4:8. It says this. Oh, that's another one. Sorry. It says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I heard an amazing quote from one of my favorite worship leaders that marked me for life. He said this, true beauty will always point you to the Creator. How many of you guys know that true beauty doesn't always have to have Jesus or God stamped on it? True beauty doesn't always have to have the Christian or the sacred label. True beauty can actually lead you into a deep revelation of who God is. I'll give you an example. When Solomon built his temple, how many of you guys know that it wasn't necessarily just the wisdom of the king or the presence of God that dwelt in that temple that drew people from all around the world? What actually drew the majority of people to Solomon's temple is said kings and queens from different nations would travel all across the world just to behold this temple. Why? Because it was beautiful. They said they adorned it with beauty. They worked on it. The craftsmen crafted such a beautiful building, such amazing architecture, such amazing sights that people were drawn. It wasn't religion that drew people in. It was the beauty and excellence of the crafted temple. How many of you guys know that beauty can point you to the Creator? And there's something beautiful about authenticity. You know, one of my favorite artists, might be very controversial. I could sense that some of y'all are about to leave the church, but I love Frank Ocean, okay? The reason why I love Frank Ocean is he is so authentic in his music. In all of his lyrics, whatever he sings, he is authentic, and he can authentically communicate the human experience. Let me tell you, sometimes I can't listen to a Jars of Clay. Sometimes I just need a Frank Ocean. I need someone to touch that part of my human life. See, true beauty will always point you to the Creator, and it doesn't necessarily have to have Jesus or God stamped on it. Another thing, true excellence, right? Think on what is excellent. If we go back to the verse, true excellence reveals God. Now, I love this quote too. It says this, I've heard it said that Christian is a great noun, but a poor adjective. Do you know that the majority of Christian movies that have been released to the public are less than 20% on Rotten Tomatoes? And on one hand, you could say, okay, it's just because the world doesn't value what we value. But no, when I'm reading some of these critiques, it's very technical. It's a matter of excellence. And sometimes it irks me when we say, I can listen to this and I could love this because it has Jesus stamped on it, even though it's poorly produced, poorly made. And we could say that not having Jesus or God in the lyrics is a sin, but not being excellent is okay. How many of you guys know that true excellence reveals God? It's possible for you to enjoy excellence for excellence's sake and be moved to worship God. How many of you guys know the dancers, who was it? Keone and Mari, right? If you haven't looked them up on YouTube, they're phenomenal. But they don't, when they're dancing, you know, they're not dancing to worship music. There's a mighty army rising. I mean, no, they're not dancing to that kind of music. They're just dancing to music. And when I'm watching them, I think, man, they are so good. They're so amazing. And actually, what it moves in my heart isn't just that Keone and Mari are good, but man, God is real. When I see them dance, I know that God is real. There's something about that dance that is sacred when I watch it, right? Excellence, true excellence can reveal God. Another part of that verse, it says, whatever is admirable or true reveals God. People singing or telling stories about things that align with our values can empower us to love God and love others. Things that we watch that tell stories about what's true or admirable. One of my favorite shows, if you've never seen, is MasterChef Junior. I kid you not, every episode, me and my wife watch together, we cry. You know why we cry? Because these kids, 7 to 12 years old, right, they're cooking in the kitchen. They're amazing, first of all, and they're excellent, right? They're better than a cook that I could ever be. And they're cooking, right? But what really moves us in this secular show is when someone gets voted off. And, man, the judges must feel like such jerks because they're, like, saying, I'm sorry, you can't continue with us. Give us your apron, right? And so it's, like, so heartbreaking. But what touches us is every time someone has to leave, all these kids, no one told them to do this, but they start crying too. And they surround the person leaving, say, I love you, it's okay, don't quit cooking, you're gonna make it. And even when these kids are competing against each other, right? You'd think they'd be super competitive, they wanna make it to the end. But even when someone messes up, like in the middle of their cooking show, like someone drops their plate before they have to present, they run to them and encourage them, like, it's gonna be okay. They offer them, like, is there any way I can help? And it's like, who taught these kids how to be so admirable? How to be so nice and true. When I watch that, I think it uplifts my spirit. I think it's beneficial to me, even though it doesn't say Jesus or God all over it. I told you the story. When I was in college, I was listening to a song by Bruno Mars while I was driving. And I was just driving, and I just heard on the radio, when I see your face, it's not a thing that I would say, because you're amazing just the way you are. And I just broke down, y'all. I started weeping in the car because when I heard those words, I wasn't imagining Bruno Mars standing in front of me with the shirt off singing those lyrics to me. I was actually hearing the words of my father saying, when I see your face, Mickey, there's not a thing that I would change. You're amazing just the way you are. How can something that's deemed quote unquote secular be so sacred in our lives? Maybe there's sacred wrapped up in it too. You already know my love for the movie Tangled. And if you don't, there's a gospel story in the movie Tangled. If you know the story, I was in a movie theater in Davis, California, by myself watching Tangled, the animated film, Disney film about Rapunzel. And all these little girls and little boys were next to me with their parents. And I'm watching this film, and throughout the entire film, I am sobbing. Like, not even just, like, tear roll down. Like, I am a hot mess. Like, I'm... And it's because there was a gospel story, a story of identity spoken through that quote-unquote secular film, right? It was a story about a princess who was taken from the king and the queen. She was taken from her royal identity before she knew who she was. She was locked up in a tower by a witch, told to fear everything outside of this tower. And so she grew up fearing everything, not knowing that she was a son or a daughter of the king. Sorry, I'm thinking about myself. She was not a daughter of the king. But what happens, every year the father and the mother, they would throw lanterns in the sky, hoping that one day she would see the lanterns and realize who she is, who she was born as. And what happens is eventually she feels like, I can't stay in here any longer. I have to go after this. There's something calling out to me. And so she follows these lanterns, ends up finding her father and her mother, the king and the queen, realizing her true God-given identity. Bam! And she realizes that she has been royalty all the time. How many of you guys know the enemy locks you in a tower telling you to fear everything? But God is putting lanterns all around you in your life, calling you back to your royal identity. I was watching this film, and I was just weeping. God was speaking to me. How can something, quote unquote, secular be so sacred? What am I saying? It's that it's not so black and white. I believe that God can use virtually anything to speak to you. The important thing is that we're intentional about it. Now, there has to be something said. There are real, There can be spirits attached to songs and media depending on who creates them and why they create them. There's something to be said about this because it is a demonic attack against our lives. But I'm not going to talk about that today. What I am going to say is it requires discernment. You know, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Don't throw out everything just because there's a chance that spirits can be attached to a song and mess with you. That's why it's important to search yourself and ask if there's any offensive way in you, just like the verse we read in the beginning. My stance is this: no spirit's getting in here without my permission, okay? And so even if I listen to a very demonic song or watch something very disturbing, if I say no spirit's allowed in here without my permission, then it's not coming in, okay? So I had to say that. We could talk more about it later. It all comes down to this. The question you have to ask: do your music choices help or hinder your love for God? Does what you watch help or hinder your love for God? For some of you, maybe Bad and Bougie isn't the song you need to be listening on the way to work, right? Maybe for some of you, watching Game of Thrones isn't the best thing for your anger problem because they kill all your favorite characters. Maybe for some of you, watching Magic Mike isn't good for your lust problem. I don't know. I'm just saying. What am I saying? It's important that we're aware. Do your music choices help or hinder your love for God? Does what you watch help or hinder your love for God? We're going to bring it down to a close. I want to go back to our title verse, Psalm 139, 23 to 24. It says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." For some of you, you guys are, the way I look at it, there's a barometer, right? There's a gauge. And some of you are at this place where right now I can't be watching Walking Dead on Sundays, right? Right now I can't be watching this movie or that movie. It's not good for my spirit, my soul. For some of you, watching Simpsons is already going too far, right? And that's okay. For some of you, you can watch Walking Dead, you can watch Game of Thrones, you can watch Magic Mike, whatever it is that you want to watch. You can listen to a wide array of things, and it doesn't affect you the same way. The important thing is we have to learn to look inside ourselves. For others, listening to Kendrick Lamar is okay, and you can draw things from the lyrics that actually empower you. For others, it's got to be Hillsong all day, right? This is the prayer we must pray, is this very prayer. You got to say, God, search me. Know my heart, because no one else can tell me what my heart is but me and you. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. For some of you, you're just listening to and watching whatever the heck you want, and you haven't stopped to ask God, search me. Know my heart. Is there any offensive way in me? Some of you, you got brought up in religion, and so you ain't touching some of that stuff, right? But in your heart, God is saying, it's okay. It's okay. There are things that I could speak to you even in that. We can't judge the way media affects others, but we can explore how it affects ourselves. And so even though I know Keone, you know, he listened to Migos on the weekend while he's going to these car things, it's not my place to judge his spirituality or his faith or his maturity because he does that. The only person that I'm responsible for judging and for knowing is myself. We have to ask God to search you. Ask him to point out any offensive way in you when it comes to media, entertainment. What am I getting at? Is if we're not intentional about knowing how media and entertainment affects us, we let things happen to us instead of us having authority over it. And so I don't know about you, but I don't want to in 10 years say, I got down this path because I allowed myself to watch anything I want. I allowed myself to listen to anything I want, and this is why I'm here. I don't want to be able to say that. I want to be able to say, I was so intentional about everything I was listening to, everything I was watching. I was so intentional that I'm exactly where I am because I walk with God here. This is the place that God is calling us to. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Last thing I want to say is this. There may be different boundaries in different seasons. I told you there was a season, and I know many of you have been in the season where you purged all your Christian or all your secular music. Well, maybe some of you purged your Christian music. I don't know. But you purged all your secular music. There have been seasons where God has called you to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be holy. For some of you, that's a life calling, and you just know you can't allow yourself to go there. That's okay. For some of you, it's okay. There are different boundaries in different seasons. I want to end with this story. I got this little tiny tattoo here, and it actually says Dove's Eyes, right? And it's from Song of Solomon. And I remember a story, actually. I'll tell you this funny story before I tell you this story. There's another guy that used to go to our Emeryville campus named Nate Bartlett, and he's actually a famous hip-hop Christian rapper named Illuminate. And he's this big guy, like maybe 250, 275 pounds, and he has tats all over his body. Like on his calf, I kid you not, he has like a tattoo of a lion ripping Satan's flesh off, stuff like that. Like, you know, David holding up Goliath's severed head. Like all these amazing tattoos. And I remember we were sitting together in a men's group, and he's just talking about the history of each tat. Like, this tattoo actually was when I was in a gang, but then I covered up with this because Christ redeemed me. I was like, wow, he's like talking about this is the lion ripping Satan's flesh off of his body and devouring him, stuff like that. And then one of my friends, they were like, hey, Mickey, didn't you get a tattoo? And then I was like, yeah, I did. And then Nate Bartlett's like, oh, you tatted up. I wouldn't have thought you to be that kind of guy. Let me see it, man. Let me see it. And I was like, oh, here it is. And I could tell he's trying to be encouraging. He's like, oh, snap, that's cool, man, that's cool. And he's like, what does it mean? And I was like, Dove's Eyes. He's like, oh, cool. Anyway, I don't care, okay? I don't care. It's powerful to me. Let me tell you why I got this tattoo. In 2013, I read a book by Bob Sorge called A Covenant with Your Eyes. It talked about whatever you watch, whatever you see, actually hasn't. You let into your soul, and you give power over your soul to the things that you allow your eyes to see. And I remember during that season, I was single. I was single as heck, man. I was so single and lonely. But also, I felt like God calling me to a season of purity, right? Because I don't know if you've ever struggled with this, but I've struggled with masturbation, pornography, lust, all that stuff. But I remember God saying, I want you to make a covenant to me with your eyes. This is the covenant I want you to make. I want you to make a covenant never to set your eyes upon a woman that is not your wife. I want you to make a covenant not to set your eyes on anything that could cause you to stumble. And I remember it was so scary because the book described like covenants are really powerful. Covenants like can only be broken by death. And I remember reading this and I remember the gravity of it, but I said, yes, God. I want to make a covenant with my eyes. So even if it means I'm sitting with all my friends and we're watching Game of Thrones and a naked scene comes on and I have to go like this. It's okay. Even if it might be a little embarrassing to do that. Even if I'm in a movie and I'm seeing something and I close my eyes, it's okay. Except my wife, y'all. Anyway, and so God told me, make a covenant with your eyes. And so I remember I found this verse in Song of Solomon. And it talks about having eyes like a dove. And did you know that doves actually have monocular vision? What does that mean? Let me tell you. Doves actually have no peripheral, meaning doves can actually only focus in on one object, one thing at a time. And so there's even stories of doves being in the middle of a road. And, you know, they call them lovebirds, right? Because two doves, when they look at each other, they can't see anything else. And so there's a story that two doves were just looking at each other. And all of a sudden, a semi-truck was coming down the road. But because they have no peripheral and all they have are eyes for each other, they're just looking at each other, trucks getting closer, looking at each other, trucks getting closer. All of a sudden, to death do you part. That's marriage, y'all. That's a lesson. Anyway, I remember God saying, Mickey, I'm calling you to have eyes only for me and also eyes only for your wife. I want you to heavily guard what you allow yourself to see, okay, what you allow into the gateway to your soul. So I remember God didn't tell me to get a tattoo, but I felt like it was just the sentimental thing to do. I want to get this tattoo on my ring finger saying Dove's Eyes, saying, God, from this moment, I make a covenant with my eyes. I'm only going to have eyes for you throughout the rest of my life, not success, not money, not anything else, not ambition, just eyes for you. But secondly, I'm only going to have eyes for my wife. Dang, why do I always get emotional when I talk about my wife? And I remember I made that covenant. And honestly, it was really hard because almost everything I was watching, I had to close my eyes. But I remember this is what God convicted me for the rest of my life. Now, can I see a nude person on the screen and be okay? Maybe. Maybe. But God told me, as he was searching me, as I was asking him, God, find any offensive way in me and I'll walk with you, whatever it looks like, he said, Mickey, make a covenant with your eyes in this way. And I'm so glad that he did, because even though it was hard, I gotta tell you what, I am still burning with passion and fire for my wife. I'm still burning with passion and fire for my God. And I believe it's because I made a covenant with my eyes. I don't believe that God is calling every one of you to make a covenant like this. But the point is this, I'm not telling you what to do, but you have to ask God, search me. If there's any offensive way in me, show me how I'm to drive it out. And maybe it's not so black and white. Maybe it's not getting rid of your secular music. Maybe it's not stopping to watch Game of Thrones. Maybe it's not all that. Maybe it is. The question is, will you be intentional to pursue that? And so I want to read this verse again. I want every eye to close. I want to read this verse to you. And after I read it, I want you to have a moment with God right now. And I want you to pray this prayer to God on your own. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. One more time. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Right now, would you just take a moment, church, to pray this prayer to God and ask him to reveal when it comes to what you watch or what you listen to. To reveal if there's anything that actually hinders your love for him, that hinders the life of your soul, that is not beneficial for you. If there's anything that you listen to that hinders your love for him, that blocks your affection for God. I want you to have an honest moment with him. Media and entertainment is just one of those things that they can just happen to us. But I feel like God is allowing for you for this moment to be intentional and asking him, search me, know me.